Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome. This is your host, Amy Loboda, and today we have John and Martha King, co-owners of King Schools Incorporated from San Diego, California. John and Martha King are considered the principal flight instructors around the world because of their King School products, which run the gamut of anything you have to do in aviation that you might have to get a rating for. Is that right?
Pretty much so. We start with the sport pilot course, go all the knowledge test course and the practical test, go all the way up to airline transport pilot. But we also have a lot of avionics courses now and a number of courses for professional pilots to get certifications such as RVSM, reduced vertical separation minimums, and the gamut of those type of certifications.
Super. And we're here today at the National Business Aviation Association's 2009 meeting in Orlando, Florida. And you just gave a nice two-hour session about what it takes to move into a jet as an owner-operator situation. And one of the things that I keyed in on during this session was your stories about many owner-operators being asked by their insurance companies to take on a mentor pilot for a time as they make the transition. This is a fairly common situation?
It's very common. When we first started flying a jet some 22 years ago, the insurance company required that somebody fly with us, I think was for 25 hours. And it's the whole idea is a mentoring idea, and it's an integral part of Cessna's transitioning pilots to the Cessna Citation Mustang. They do an evaluation of the pilots, and they'll ask them to do various things, but one of the things that they very frequently require is that they have a mentor fly with them. And one of the things that it occurs to us is this mentor program can be wonderful, or it can be absolutely dangerous, depending on how well it's managed. And we had a case where we had a great friend who was mentoring us, who was very, very familiar with the aircraft, but clearly more comfortable in the aircraft than we were. We were just getting started in it. And it was a tendency for him to be more comfortable taking weather risks or any other kind of risks than we were, and it was unclear as to who was really pilot in command and who was going to be the final say as to what we were going to do with the aircraft. So it seems to me that if you have a mentor program, you have to get very clear about what the objectives are and what the game rules are. Are you going to, who's pilot in command, how are we going to make decisions about risks, and what kind of dialogue we're going to have about it. And there needs to be a formalized program more than an informal program. And the reason we came to those opinions is that we scared ourselves more times. We've actually never scared ourselves in a jet airplane since, but we had several real scares when we had a mentor pilot with us. One of our very first flight in the airplane, we picked up the airplane at Meacham Field.
The Citation, right.
Very first flight in the Citation, we picked it up at Meacham Field when we took ownership with it, and the mentor pilot was with us. And foolishly, we had a bunch of passengers with us, and the very first flight we're flying into Oshkosh for the air event. I'm sorry, I'm pounding the table, aren't I? The air show at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And so foolishly, we had this trip we wanted to make, and we wanted to get in there before the field closed. All of these pressures on you, which we should have managed otherwise. And our first takeoff, the mentor pilot was the last person in the aircraft. And we took off, got airborne, and the cabin light came on saying that the door was not properly closed. And so we are over landing, maximum landing weight. So what are we going to do? Are we going to fly around with an unsafe door, or are we going to come back and land over maximum landing weight? And the mentor pilot says, let's go back, just make it a good landing, no pressure here. So we come in and we make this landing, and sure enough, the door had not been properly closed.
By the Mentor pilot.
And in the citation, you have to take it all the way to the right and back to the center. He took it only to the center. He didn't get the locking pins in. Uh-huh. So sure enough, the door wasn't properly closed. And so we taxi back. I'm in the left seat. Mentor pilot's in the right seat. Now we've just had my first flight, my first emergency in the airplane. And it was a pilot-induced emergency, as, of course, most of them are.
Yes.
And so then we go back again, and we're taxiing back, and I said, I'll take the taxi checklist, please. And the mentor pilot says, no, we've already done those things. Let's just do the before takeoff checklist. And so we don't do the taxi checklist. And actually, I think, as my recollection,
I argued a little bit.
I said, no, I really would like, no, we don't need that. Let's do the before takeoff checklist. So I argued with him. So anyway, we start down the runway again on the second takeoff, and he's not doing all the call-outs. He's not doing airspeed alive, 60 knots, V1, VR. And I'm going, well, how about my call-outs? He says, hold on just a second. And so finally, we're roaring down the runway. I said, well, when's the time to rotate? And he says, okay, go ahead and rotate. And I said, okay, gear up. And then we got to the right time. I said, flaps up. And he says, they're already up. Because we had taken off with the flaps up instead of in takeoff position, because we hadn't done the flaps on the taxi checklist, not the before takeoff checklist.
Yeah.
So here's a case where we just twice now we had a problem in the airplane. That's no big deal, because he knows the airplane well enough. He uses superior ability.
But how many times are you going to do that?
Right, right.
And we had a long enough runway that he could go by the seat of his pants and figure out, okay, this ought to be fast enough.
Right. That we did it. So the point is that the mentor, because he was familiar with the airplane, was kind of skipping things. And he should have been teaching us not to skip things. But he was very comfortable with the airplane. And even if we did a flap-up takeoff, no big deal for him, because he was comfortable with the speeds and knew what it would do. But I didn't, and I wasn't. So he was
looking at it more as a check the insurance company box than as a actually teach this person something.
Well, Martha, that's a very interesting point, because that comes right down to the word mentor. And what is a mentor pilot? What is the definition of the mentor pilot? What does the insurance company want? What do you, the owner operator, want? And did he even really understand what he was doing?
Well, in his view, the purpose of his being on board was simply to keep the insurance company happy. And he didn't feel that we needed the mentoring. He didn't feel that there was anything really that he could pass on to us. And he was just figuring, we'll check this insurance company block. And one of the things that illustrates that is that the last trip in the airplane, before, as we were finishing off our mentoring time, one of his employees was going to be flying with us on this trip as our mentor. And we're getting into the airplane, John and me and this other person that's going to be a mentor. And he says to us as he gets on the airplane, where do you want me to sit? And John said to him, well, I think the general idea is you're supposed to be up front with Martha. And he said, okay, I'll sit up front for the takeoff and the landing, but I'm tired. I'm going to go in the back and sleep. And we're on, when we're in cruise, we're on our way from San Diego to Dallas. And we're going to be, we had done flying before our simulator training, and we're now going to, when we get to Dallas, do the simulator training, and then we're going to be done. And our mentor has an airline flight that he's going to take from Dallas back to San Diego. So we're flying along. Dallas is about the edge of the range on the citation, depending on the winds. And we come across El Paso. We have to detour around some thunderstorms. And John and I look at the fuel. Now, we've got at this point maybe, we've got 25 hours approaching it in the airplane. We're not all that good yet on what's the fuel consumption and usage going to be like. That's part of what we were depending on the mentor to teach us, which we haven't really gotten. And so we wake up the mentor and say, here's what our fuel looks like, and here's what we think we'll land in Dallas with. Are you happy with that? And he says, how's the weather? Dallas weather's fine. Okay, I'm happy. And he goes back to sleep, and we keep flying. And then he, as we get closer to Dallas, he comes up front, and it's looking like we're going to land at Dallas with 300 pounds a side, which is fine in a citation if the weather's good. But then they send us down earlier than we expected, which air traffic control does. And here we are coming in, and I'm getting kind of twitchy. So we're passing Abilene, and I say to the mentor pilot, why don't we land at Abilene and get some more fuel? We got plenty of time. And he says, no, I've got an airline flight to catch. Let's keep on going. The fuel will be fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. So we come past Mineral Wells, and now I'm getting really twitchy. And I say, why don't we land at Mineral Wells and get some fuel? And he says, no, the fuel's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Between Mineral Wells and the Dallas area, the low fuel lights come on. And I say, well, you know, here's Meacham Field over here, and there's no traffic there. We could land there. We don't have to worry about vectoring and get some fuel. And what is it, 15, 20 miles from Dallas? And he says, don't sweat it, it's okay. Well, both fuel lights aren't blinking anymore, they're solid. And so we're talking to Dallas Approach. They start vectoring us all the way around the airport to land on the east side of the airport. And as we're coming around, I look down the runway. I'm looking down runway 13, and I forget talking to the mentor pilot. I just key the mic and I say to the tower, you know, we're lined up with runway 13 here. We'd really like to land on 13 and land now. Air traffic control's not dumb. So they said, cleared to land runway 13. I landed. Now we had, because we landed in a different part of the airport than we planned, we had a long, long taxi. Oh, yeah. But when we shut down, we had 36 gallons of fuel left in the airplane. That's not enough.
That's not enough. That's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Managing Safety. We'll be right back, and Martha and John King, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to get the right mentor pilot.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lavoda and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety. Amy Lavoda, your host here today. I have with me John and Martha King, co-owners of King Schools, and we are talking about mentor pilots. These are the pilots that are generally required of new owner-operators of jet aircraft by the insurance company to give them a little extra time in the airplane if they are not high-time turbine jet pilots. Martha and John, you were just telling us some stories about a really good person who's a good pilot who turned out to be not the best mentor pilot for you. But at the same time, you learned a lot of things. Scared yourselves a little bit in the process, but you learned a lot of things. Let's talk a little bit about clarifying who that mentor is and if you had to do it again to hire a mentor pilot because the insurance company tells you you need to. We want you to fly for 25 or 50 hours with this other pilot who's rated in the airplane and has a lot of experience. How would you do the job interview this time around?
Well, Amy, you know, mentor pilots are often called babysitter pilots, and actually a babysitter pilot is not what you want. You really do want a mentor pilot. And probably the best way to go is to take a mentor pilot who has been trained to be a mentor pilot. And Cessna, as you know, is using mentor pilots for the Mustang. And these pilots are trained. They understand their objective. They know what they're going to accomplish. But if you had a pilot who was not part of a program, you would still want to sit down with them and have a pretty lengthy discussion about what the objectives are and what the rules are that you're going to operate under and how you're going to make decisions and who's pilot in command and what he's trying to accomplish with you. And it seems to me that you want to set it up so that the mentor pilot understands that their job is to give you wisdom and seasoning and risk management skills. That your physical skills probably aren't going to be a problem in the operation of a jet. And they can certainly help you with that. But the thing that's going to be make or break in terms of whether you do right by yourself and your passengers in the airplane is your risk management skills. So what I would... One of the problems is when you're new to flying a jet or any other aircraft, you don't know what you don't know. And so the mentor pilot has to set it up so that they can point out what the hazards and risks are and how you manage them. And so to me, it's all about managing the risks of flying. We all know that there are serious risks associated with flying. After all, we're leaving the ground and going at lethal speeds. We know that as a fact. So how do you manage those risks? And that's what the mentor pilot's job is. If you've got someone who understands that, I think you're going to be fine.
The ideal person, I think, would be a flight instructor, although that's not always easy to find, because the flight instructor understands this internally and consistently understands that their job is to make sure that there is a transfer of responsibility, of wisdom, of risk management capability to the person that they're working with, not just to function as somebody in the right seat because the insurance company says so. Places to go would be owners groups. For instance, the Citation Jet Pilots Association has a very strong organization where they help each other find mentor pilots. There are your insurance broker or agent would probably be a good place to go, because they will know who has been used previously, and they will have had definite feedback from the owner if it didn't work out particularly well. What you want to avoid is a mentor pilot who says, I'm going to ring you out in the airplane and show you what it'll really do. That's what simulator training is for. You've already crashed the simulator more times than you can count and learned all of the things that you don't want to do and pushed the limits of the performance in the simulator safely. You don't need that in the real airplane. What you need to know that a simulator training session doesn't give you is high altitude flight, managing your fuel flow, anticipating issues with air traffic control, involved with fuel flows on early descents, involved with complications of arrivals. All of the what the airlines get when they do the line-oriented flight training, LOFT they call it, that trains them, okay, you've had all the emergencies, you know the systems, let's talk about how you fly normal trips in real life. That's what you want the mentor pilot to be helping you with.
Yes.
You know, the scuba industry improved its accident rate by tenfold in a period of about 10 years by changing the culture of the scuba industry. And flying used to be pretty macho. I remember when we first got our type rating in a Learjet, examiner wanted to show us how to roll it. Because he says everybody rolls the airplane, and if you're going to roll the airplane, I want you to do it with me first. Well, we weren't going to roll the airplane. We said, absolutely not. We're not going to roll this airplane. But the point is that the two most dangerous words in aviation are, watch this. And there's a tremendous tendency for the mentor pilot. They just can't contain themselves. They want to show you a few things. And so the moral to the story is we want to make sure that this experience is focused on risk management and helping you anticipate the things that you might not think of otherwise, but not to do the obvious things like roll the aircraft. And we're changing our culture in aviation, and we're focusing more on risk management. And the Mentor Pilot Program is one of those things that is changing also in aviation.
Excellent. And if people want to know more about risk management, I know you guys have a whole course on risk management. What's the website they can go to?
www.kingschools.com. And we actually have four courses on risk management progressing through single pilot IFR and weather and takeoffs and landings, as well as the basic risk management course for pilots.
John and Martha King, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us here on Managing Safety.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.